Father's supply. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for each song, the meaning behind it, Lord, and how it speaks of the walk that we have with you, Lord, day by day. How that you hold us, how you guide us, how you keep us. Lord, how you feed us. Lord, may you just, in the furtherance of the service now, speak to our hearts, Lord. Lead us and guide us in all truth. Lord, may you bless Sister Evelyn, Brother Benjamin, they're listening in. We pray for Brother Goomba on the mission field. We pray for Rhonda, Lord, down helping with my mother. Lord, for Sister Betty and Sister Rebecca, that you would bless them and strengthen them, Lord. And Lord, each one, we maybe can't think of every name, but Lord, you know every heart. You know every need. You know each one. We just commit them, each one, to you, Father. So we thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We have some scripture to read, but we got several, or I would just have you stand with me. But now, we thank the Lord so much, and I want to say that we had got the opportunity to talk with Brother Goomba two or three times yesterday, and actually it was one continued time, but the connection was so bad that we talked two or three times, and then finally I told him, I said, we'll just talk when I'm on my way home. And so after I got on the road, then we had a good connection and we had a good conversation. And so now I'm already seeing here that I got a word spelt wrong here, but you'll just have to overlook me. But I want to on Sunday we took for the subject the title The Bride Is Already Called. And so tonight the bride is already chosen. And so, you know, we talked about the different aspects of that and how that God was calling all the time, but then the prophet says in this time the bride is called. And he speaks it with the finality. He speaks it with, this is the calling of the bride. And so I want to read some scripture tonight, and then I just have one out of one message I'm going to read, but it's a little bit lengthy, but not too much. And so we're talking a little bit about this choosing. We're talking about the calling, and we're talking about the marriage. And so we read the other night that Brother Branham said the marriage happens now. He said, we're not going to the marriage, where the marriage is happening right now. And so whether the people see it, whether they recognize it or not, it's happening. There's a marriage that's taken place. And so when he becomes one with you, that's that spiritual union, that's that oneness, that's the marriage right there. And that's the new birth. So we're going to start in the scripture here in the book of Jude, and verse 1 of chapter 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. So now in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And I think that's something we should not forget every day of our life, that we're the temple and he is in us. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Now, if you read the first half of this chapter, that's what he was talking about. One says I'm a Paul, one says I'm of Apollos, and one says I'm another brother, another brother. And he said, in all of that, he said, aren't you carnal? Aren't you carnal? He said, because all things are Christ. But he says here now, for all things are yours. Now, he's talking now about a group of people that have become one. He's talking about now a group of people who are the temple of God. And so he's ending in this, and he's going to say it twice. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Now, you can think of scriptures where he talks about all things are Christ and all things are for him and all things were by him and many things. Here he's saying all things are yours. And when you become one with him, all things are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Now, now in Matthew, the 20th chapter, now I got a scripture that I want to get to here, and I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. He says that many are called, but few are chosen. And in a few places, and he says this a few times in Matthew, and then I think he says it in maybe in Mark one time. And then another scripture that sometimes he adds with that, or a part of that scripture, is the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so I want to read in Matthew here in two different places, two different stories, and that he ends with, many are called, but few are chosen. And this first story is about the man who went and hired the workers to come and work in his vineyard. The next one's going to be when he's talking about the king who made a wedding for his son. And he ends both of them exactly the same way. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last. And so he's going to pay, he's telling them, I'm going to pay the last ones first. He has a purpose in that. I'm going to pay the last ones first. They only worked 1 hour. Beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And that's nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. Many are called, and gifts and callings come without repentance. Yes, They've not even repented, and they can have a gift. And that's pretty amazing. This is in Matthew chapter 22. And now he's going to give us another parable concerning the marriage. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now they were called. They were called to come to the wedding. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. And he's calling again. Tell them, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. He's inviting them to this marriage. And that's what we've been invited to in this day. That's what the calling is all about in this day. It's a marriage. It's a marriage. And Brother Branham said it couldn't happen in Paul's day. It couldn't happen in Luther's day. It couldn't happen in Wesley's day. The marriage took place in this day. And so that's what the calling was all about. It was calling to gather that bride together, to bring forth that union, to make her one with him. See, but they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. And then saideth he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. That's this day that we live in. He came back. It says he came back 2,000 years ago for a people that were not worthy. They were not worthy of the grace that he wanted to bestow upon them. They wanted a law. They wanted a man-made idea. They wanted their works. They wanted everything else but that grace that he offered to them. Verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. How about that? And when the king come in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment on. Those garments were to make everybody the same. So nobody's above the other one. Nobody's greater. Nobody's richer. Nobody's poor. Nobody. No, it makes everybody just the same. And he saideth unto them, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many are called, but few are chosen. We got one more scripture, and this is in Revelation 19. And I actually had about the whole chapter, and then I took some of it out because I just thought I was going to have too much. But the whole chapter is worth reading. Revelation 19, we know this is concerning the bride. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And this could have been our title tonight, but I went the other way because it went with the other. And his wife hath made herself ready. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saideth unto me, write, blessed are they which are called. What are they? They're called. They're called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saideth unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. Think about that. This is the Lamb that was slain. He was the Word. He was the living Word manifested. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Quite a scripture. Amen. Now, I just have one message I'm going to read out tonight, that's spiritual food in due season. And I ran across this the other day, and I just really liked it. I'm reading more of it than just the subject, the text that we want to get, because that in this was such a powerful message. And I think the next week he preached What's the Attraction on the Mountain. He refers to it in here and talking about a revelation concerning the mountain. And so I didn't go back and check it to see if that's what it was, but he was referring to the next week. So I want to start at paragraph 83, spiritual food in due season. Then back out there at the beginning of the seven seals, when those seven angels come down in that pyramid form, stood there and told me to return back here and speak on those seven seals, and he'd be with me, and he'd show me what they were, the lost things. And it always stirs me up when I read these happenings, these supernatural happenings in this day, and that prophet talking about him, God. Amen. God speaking to him, and God telling him what to do or what he's going to do. God telling him to go here and go there, do this, do that. It just does something to me. It makes this thing more real and more sure and more positive, and it kind of fortifies your faith, and it just makes it more sure. He'd show me what they were, the lost things, and I always thought it was sealed on the back of the book, and it'd be something that wasn't wrote in the book, but it turned out that it was made known that he cannot do that. It isn't something that's written in the book. See? Now he said, I thought it was on the back of the book. Now he's saying it isn't something that's written in the book. See? It's something that's been hid in the book. It's hidden in the book. For whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it. See? And now this thought right here, Brother Branham covers it in the message, the unveiling of God. And when he's talking about, the theologian comes to him and he said, "What those seven thunders, Brother Branham, that'll be some revelation, give to some man." He goes right back to the scripture and he says, "No, you can't do that." He said, "You can't add one word, you can't take one word away." He said, it's all in there. It's all in there. It's just hidden. And so, but he hides it from them. He hides it from them at the same time that he's revealing it to the bride. So it is a mystery that's been in the book in these seven church ages. And each one of them produced a mystery all about water baptism and these other things that they fumbled about so long. And then that went up, the big observatories from way down in California, plumb down in Mexico, over Tucson, everywhere, taking the picture of it. It was a mysterious sight. And Brother Fred Softman there, sitting right back here, and I, Brother Gene Norman, standing right back there present when it went up. They took the picture, and still they don't know what about it. Here some time ago, everybody saying, "Looky here, this looks like this, and them angel wings, and they're folded in there." And one day, turning it to the right, looking, there was Jesus Christ, just as perfect as Hoffman ever drawed him. One day, he turned the picture to the right. So he had the picture. All that time, they had the picture. Once the sister, I think it was the sister that brought it, or somebody brought it, said they seen it, and said they looked at it, and he identified immediately that cloud was associated, related to what happened on the mountain there. But yet, he didn't know that it was Christ, because they kept holding the picture up the wrong way. So they didn't know they had a picture of him. They didn't know that it was him looking down on the earth. He was right there, but they didn't know it yet. He was standing there with the white wig on, looking back down towards the earth, showing that he is supreme authority. The heavens declare it. The Bible declares it. The message declares it. All the same. Supreme authority with the white wig on. You see his head. I'm sorry. Just turn it to, I'm sorry, I lost my place. You see his black beard under it. Many of you have seen the picture. We got it back there. Just turn it to the right, sideways, and look at it. There he is. Just as perfect as it was, as if it had been photographed of him. They're looking at it from the wrong angle. See, you got to look at it from the right angle. That's the same thing that we read where Brother Branham said, you got to come on God's terms. You got to read it in God's terminology and God's thinking and the way God does it. The whole message, the whole Bible, the whole thing, we've got to look at it God's way. And that's the reason that Abel got it. That's the reason that Cain didn't get it. Because they didn't look at it the right way. They didn't have something. Cain didn't have something to reveal it to him. Something revealed to Brother Branham to turn it to the right. Something revealed to him that to turn it to the right, and then he would see the Lord, that was Christ in the picture, that was Christ that had come and that was looking upon the earth. It wasn't just a cloud, but Christ had come. And the only the Lord God can reveal which is the right angle. Turn it to your right and look at it. There he is, just as perfect. Had it have been photographed up there, the first time, now he's going back to the first time he ever seen Christ. The first time I ever seen him, he looked like the head of Hoffman. I had never seen that before. And in Billy's Sunday's Tabernacle, years later, I saw it. My house has never been without one of the pictures since. Then here in the skies, saying that the very God that I saw up in this vision out there, just a little boy out here, by where this schoolhouse stands, he looked like that. And here in the heavens, 33 years later, declared it, that it was the truth. That's the way it looks. Not some mystic something of somebody's idea. And I'm not going to read this next part, but Brother Branham goes here, and he stops and he says, in the Vatican one time, he's seen this picture of Christ and said the way that they drew it was just a little, you know, like a some little thing of a beard and something else, and said it wasn't right at all. And he said then he was seen a Greek painting one time, artist of Adam and Eve. And he said it was the most horrible thing that you ever seen. And Brother Branham said that Adam was the most perfect man that you ever seen. And Eve was the most perfect woman. He said in every way, the most perfect woman. He said they were both the most beautiful and the most perfect that there ever was. But man's ideas put it together some other way. Brother Branham said that's the carnal mind. What the carnal mind does with something spiritual. In paragraph 91, now we find out that Elijah could say that because the message of the hour and the word of God, the messenger, the message, and the word was exactly the same. The prophet, the word, the message, messenger, message, and message was the same. Jesus said, if I do not the works that's written of me, then don't believe me. Now, this is another thing that keeps popping up as we go along, is him saying that if I do not the works. Also pops up is that we will do the same works. That keeps coming up too. That's good. If any man and his message is one. See? That's why today that they do not believe in doing the works of God. And that's the very thing that must be in our life. The works of God must be in our life. If Christ is in us, then the works of God is going to be exactly the same as Jesus Christ. See? That's why today they do not believe in doing the works of God, because they do not accept the message of God. They don't believe the message of God. It don't matter how much they say they believe it. Don't matter how much they pretend like they believe it. Don't matter how much they preach it, do anything else. That life has got to be living. He's calling them on it. He's saying they don't believe the message. But those who believe God's hour that we're living in, these things are hidden food. Praise be to God. Hidden food, that's what it is. It's the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. It's the bride feasting. She is in that spiritual feast. She is in that spiritual supper, feeding upon Him, becoming one with Him. The honeymoon, Christ making love to His bride. Just think, God has so hid it that they look right at it and don't see it. Just like they were looking at the picture. Same way they was looking at the Bible for 2,000 years. Now they're looking at the message. Now they're looking at the revelation. And they look right at it and they don't see it. They look right at the seven seals. They don't get what it is. They look right at those seven thunder mysteries and they don't see what it is. They don't get it. Just think. God has so hid it that they look right at it and don't see it. Now remember, where he started at, in these quotes that we're reading here, where we started at, he was saying that that he thought it was something on the backside. But he said, no, it wasn't that. He said, you can't add to it. You can't take away from it. He said, it's something that's hidden. It's something that they're looking at, but they don't see it. And he said, it's not written in there. He said, but it's hidden there. So just as Brother Branham, he talked about in Colossians 1. He said, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so Brother Branham come along and said, dead? Were they all dead people? Or something specific was dead? Something had died? And so he took that scripture and he continued the scripture and brought the revelation of what was being said. Right. He took where Luther had his justification, but he took that same thing and he took it and continued the scripture and brought it to the realization, to the fullness of the revelation. Not a piece of a revelation, not a part of a revelation, but the fullness of the revelation. The same way that Elijah blinded the Syrian army. The same way that Elijah is looking at it and the others can't see it. See? The same way that God blinds the unbeliever from the true, genuine food of the child, the believer. See? So he's saying that the mysteries are in there, but they don't see it. They don't see what it is. When he speaks it, they don't understand what he's saying. They look right at it. They look right at the marriage today. When Christ is becoming one, and that union, that spiritual union is taking place, the marriage is taking place. We're not going to the wedding. It's taking place. So the people don't see what's happening. It's right before them. They can look at you and say, well, you call yourself a Christian. Yeah, you this, you're that. But they don't see that you and God are one. They don't get the fullness. They don't get the reality of it. What they called Noah, a fanatic, building an ark, his eyes were open to the word of God and the promise. The very thing that they called fanaticism saved Noah and his family. Praise the Lord. See, the very same thing. The thing that people laugh at is the thing that we pray for. The thing that people call crazy, we call great. What the world calls great, God calls foolish. And what the world calls foolish, God calls great. It's just exactly the contrast between right and wrong. Praise God. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh my, the very thing that they laughed at is what saved him. The very thing they laugh at today is the thing that's sacred to the bride. Remember, he went into his secret place by the plan of God and by the call of God and by the word of God. The plan, that means it was predestinated. That means God had it planned that this is how it's going to be. It was premeditated, predestinated, the foreknowledge of God that this is how it's going to be, this secret place. And then he called us there. He called us. He told us what he wanted done with the word. And the word of God. The word of God has spoken it, prophesied it. Elijah entered into his secret place by God's foreknowledge, plan, and the call upon his life. And according to the word, if that ain't the way that we entered, I don't know how we get there. See, or why we get there, how we get there. And notice, before the drought began, Elijah went into this secret, this place of secret for his living. Huh? To supply his every need. He went into this place. God put him there. God led him there. God called him there. A very type of before the judgment starts to strike the earth. The church is already called out. Huh? Already. The bride is already chosen. Already done. It was done before the foundation of the world. He had in his mind every member, every seed, every germ of life, everyone, every vessel that he put a seed in, he knew every one of them. They were already chosen. They were already ordained. They were already selected by God. The church is already called out. The bride is already chosen. And just waiting before the judgment strikes. Already waiting, eating the food of God. That's what we've been doing. That's what's been taking the time. That's what God intended for us to do. He's not late. There's nothing. We're right on time. Brother Branham said, what the bride needs to do is lay in the presence of the Son. That's what we've been doing. That's what's been going on. And it's been ripening. It's been ripening this food in the bride. And it's becoming more of a reality. The riper it gets, the maturer it gets, the greater it gets. It's just like the difference of a child growing up. And when you become an adult in this revelation, then you know what to do. You know what to do. You know how to act. You know what God wants done with the word. Already waiting, eating the food of God, enjoying the blessings of God. Any man in his normal mind knows that we're headed straight. We're right in the hour of judgment. Look at Brother Banks, several of you men that's here tonight, that's standing out there on that mountain that morning. I want to speak about that mountain next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. I got a great revelation, something further that I can't hardly keep from telling it tonight. See? But it's just constantly, all the time, one thing happening after another. Brother Branham said that more than one time. He said, it's happening so fast out there on that desert that I can't keep up with it. Revelation after revelation after revelation. See? It never stopped happening. For it was thus saith the Lord. And every one of you here, thousands times thousands over the tape, you heard me stand and say, thus saith the Lord. It will be thus and thus. And even the newspapers and magazines have declared it to be so. They don't know what it's all about, but they've seen it. They don't know what it is, but they've seen it making the word exactly right. That's what Brother Branham said. He said, we didn't take the picture. They took the picture. Scientists took the picture. We didn't say, oh, there's a supernatural cloud. Scientists said, there's a supernatural cloud. They recognized it. They knew. They didn't know what was going on. They put it in the paper. If anyone has any picture, anyone knows anything about it, call us, tell us. Brother Branham started to call him, and he said, and God told him not to. He said, they won't understand. They won't believe it. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be quiet. Which is amazing, isn't it? When Jesus would heal somebody, and then say, now don't tell nobody. He healed those blind guys. And sometimes you don't hear nothing. Other times, as fast as they can, they're screaming it. They're praising God. And this looking at it and not recognizing it, the same thing we talked about the other night on the road to Emmaus. They were at Calvary. They seen it with their eyes. They knew what had happened, but they didn't understand it. They know he died. They know he hung on Calvary. They know he suffered. They knew. They just seen it with their own eyes. And even these men, they were there. They were there when the mountain rocked and the rocks and the earthquake and the blast and all those things that happened when the angels come down. All of these things were happening, but they didn't get it. We were standing down there on the river. See, that angel of the Lord came down that day, 33 years, or in 1933 it was, come down and spoke the things that he did. God come down and spoke on that day and walked out, and many men stand upon the bank there and said, what did that mean, Billy? I said, it wasn't for me. That was for you. I believe. You don't. And I just walked on. Something, huh? Then the pastor said to me, this was his pastor. He said, you mean that you, with a seventh grade education, is going to go all over the world and pray for monarchs and potentates and kings and things? And all said, forget it. I couldn't forget it. It was engraved upon my heart. I tell you, when you listen to this on the tape, you could just feel the emotion and because you know what he was going through. He knew that God was speaking to him, and very few were believing it. And people that should believe it, the more spiritual people, the ministry, the ones who should be believing it, They were the hardest ones to condemn him. He said, I couldn't forget it. He said, it was engraved in my heart. Praise God. Now here, 33 years later, everything he said has happened perfectly the way he said it would do it. He's God and can't fail. He always keeps his word. Don't never doubt. See? Now notice, he went in by the plan of God, foreknowledge, by the call of God, and by the word of God, and went in before the drought set in. So did we. We know the judgment's on. We know when he threw up that rock, that judgment began into the earth. The bride was called, she was chosen, she was sealed. She was sealed in because he had the book. He had the book, and every name was in the book. And that ended it there. It ended it there. Satan no longer had any claims. Satan had nothing else that he could lay claim to. It was a finished work. It was completely finished in. Yeah, the price was paid 2,000 years ago, but the claim wasn't made. And it's no good until the claim is made. It's got to be made. If you don't go claim it, it's not yours. It don't matter how much it's paid for. You have got to possess it. And that's what happened. That's what happens under this covenant. Under this covenant, it's a marriage. It's a marriage covenant. It's a covenant of oneness between the bride and Christ. He went in by the plan of God, foreknowledge, call of God, the word of God. He went in before the drought set in. And we know that judgment is ready to strike. And we know that it's already striking. We know around the world it's been striking for ever since that time. It's been striking, the judgment is in. But the bride was sealed in already. Standing on the hill that day, Brother Banks Wood standing there, he was walking up the hill. Maybe I quote it again so that you build your faith for this prayer line that's fixing to take place. See, I was just walking ahead of Brother Banks, and he had left Sister Ruby when she was sick. And he coming behind me, I noticed his face red, and I looked back, and I thought the hill might be a little hard for him to pull. So I kind of slowed up, and right in them deserts, right up the hills like that, right where the angels of the Lord appeared. And he was headed right in that direction then, where they appeared a few months before that. See? And as I went up the hill, the Spirit of God, when I turned around, look on top of the mountain, he said, pick up that rock and say to him, thus saith the Lord, you'll see the glory of God in the next few hours. And I just picked up the rock and said, Brother Banks, I don't know why. I throwed it in the air. And I said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to see the glory of God. And he said, that meant Ruby. He was really concerned about his wife. And so he'd been asking Brother Branham, as you listen to the message, you'll see other places when Brother Branham's telling the story, how he kept referring to his wife because he was concerned about her. And then he had left her at home while she was sick because he wanted to be with the prophet. And he was hoping that he was going to speak this healing. But there was something so much greater that was going on. But an interesting thing is, there's a brother who's fixing to lose his ear, his eyes, something. He had cancer. And he's fixing to receive his healing. So, but this, but God was doing something. And he got to be a part of it. And the next morning, when we were standing there, many of the men, I don't know how many is sitting here now. There was about 12, 14, 15 of us sitting there. All of a sudden, the minister walked up to me and said, Brother Branham, he said, my name is so-and-so. And said, I was one of your sponsors in California. And I think it was Brother Douglas McHughes or something like that. And I said, I'm glad to meet you, sir. He even says, I'm sorry. Douglas McHughes said, I'm glad to meet you, and shook hands with him and said, now I want to ask you a question. And Roy Roberson, the trustee here, Brother Woods, Terry and Billy, and Brother McAnally, and I don't know who all was standing there. And he said, I want to ask you something. And he said, does the Lord ever give you visions out like this? And I said, yes, brother, but I come out here to kind of get away from it, to rest up. And I looked around like this, and I seen a heavy-set doctor looking at him and said, Reverend McHughes, this allergy in your eye, you will soon put your eye out. I've doctored you for 2 years, and I can do nothing about it. And I turned around to him, and I said, what you asked me that for? Your doctor told you the other day that allergy was in your eye. It was the middle of the day, about 11 o'clock, and he was wearing sunglasses. And I said, the reason you're not wearing that because of the sun is because of your eye. He told you was going to lose that eye. And he started crying. That's right. And I turned around again and a shovel in my hand, and I looked and I seen him standing there looking at me, his eye just as bright. I said, but thus saith the Lord, you're not going to lose that eye. I was hunting with him last fall, and he can see better than me or anybody in the crowd. See? Now this is, you can imagine the power, the presence of God in moments like this. And this is a healing. This is something secondary to something much greater that's happening at the same time. And I said, your mother is a gray-headed lady. My son, she told you before you left, if you seen me, to have me pray for her feet. She's got little tumors hanging all over her feet. He liked to have fainted. Said, that's the truth. I said, tell her not to worry. It'll be all right. And I started to walk around. And then I heard the voice of God speak. Get out of the way quickly. Now, see, it just goes from this healing to this, from these visions, from this prophecy, speaking the healing of the mother, and now God's judgment is fixing to strike the earth. Roy Roberson standing there, knowing he was a veteran of the war. I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, Brother Roy, hide quick as you can. He said, what's the matter? I said, get out of the way, hide. And just started walking around, put my shovel down, turned around, took my hat off, and here he come. Praise God. Here he come. The glory of God falling in a whirlwind that tore the side of the mountain out like that, blasted and shook the place like that, cut the top of the bushes out, just about 3 or 4, 5 feet above my head, went back up like a funnel like that. It blasted again, and here it come 3 times, and then it left the 3rd time. Brother Banks came over and said, that's what you was talking about. I said, yes. He said, what was it? I said, God appears in whirlwinds. I didn't know whether he wanted me to tell the people or not. And then I went on and prayed a little bit, and then he told me I could tell him. I said, it's judgment striking the West Coast. Now, here, he pinpoints specifically, this is going to hit the West Coast, and it goes up and almost sinks Alaska. Another place, he doesn't pin it to the West Coast, he pins it to the earth. And he said, judgment will begin into the earth. So it's just that this strike here is going to be on the West Coast, but it's beginning into the earth. Now it's judgment time. The lion is here. Not the lamb. The lion is here. It's judgment striking the West Coast. Look at her today. Look what happened a few hours after that. Alaska almost sunk. He says Alaska sunk, almost sunk. You've read it, you've seen the video on it, the different things, quite something. And now the whole thing is going under. We're entering into judgment. Mercy has been spurned. But thanks be to God, we've got hidden food, spiritual food, that we're living on the goodness and the mercy of the revelation of Jesus Christ in these last days, vindicating himself among us, among his people. Praise God. That's what he's doing, vindicating himself, constantly, continually vindicating himself. They went in, Elijah went in before the drought set in. Thank God for being in before the judgment sets in. Now it's a time of coming out and going in. And we read a lot of quotes where he's talking about that calling out, calling out, calling out. But Brother Branham said it's two parts. It's coming in, come into, come into, come into. Get out of those organizations. Get into Christ. It's coming out and going in time for all true believers. See? Then he was called and he stayed in there. Remember, he never left that brook until God called him to do something. Amen. He just sat there quiet. He just sat there silent. And the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. And she's ready to move when he wants her to move. After the drought was about over, he called him out of there down to a widow's house. Notice he called to this widow. And this widow had not associated herself with the unbelievers. Amen. Took the mark of the beast during the drought. So he called her out, called Elijah to sustain this widow. They just had one little cake, one little thing she was holding on to. And Elijah said, give that to me first. For thus saith the Lord, the barrel will not go empty, neither will the curse run dry until the day that the Lord God sends rain upon the earth. Putting God first, his word first. Right. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, some people look at that and think, oh, no, he should have had them first. No, God has a way. God has a way. God was proving that faith. And God was showing you that respect to the word, respect to his servants, respect to God. It never ran dry. It never ran dry. There was oil in the curse every time she went for it. Why? The meal represented Christ in the meal offering. The burrs, I never thought about this or never... it never stuck before. The burrs had to be set just right to grind every one of them, every burr in this meal exactly the same. Just think about that. When your grits or something goes through a grits mill, they're all different. But he said this was every one of them exactly the same. Every grain the same. Every grain exactly the same. Every burr, this meal, exactly the same, showing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was the word, the bread of life, following the message to vindicate the word. That's right. Praise be to God. So is it today, friends, so is it today, that the bread of life that the children eat on follows the message of God to sustain them during the time of the drought. If the world was ever in a drought, spiritually speaking, amen, we are there. Yes, sir. Not just in the denominations, not just everywhere, but in the message people. There is a spiritual drought. Amen. If people have, they're so far into the world, they're so far away from the word, they're so far away from the presence of God. Yes. What if he stood in our presence right now? He would act and do just exactly like he'd done the days when he was in flesh here on the earth. The bride is part of the husband. The church is the same as Christ. The works that I do shall you do also. And it is the word that done it. He told us that the things that he did, that we would do it also. Yes, that's right. We noticed here again, if the word is in us, and has come to us as it did Elijah in that day, it'll do the same thing that it did. He would feed on the secret things of God, which is hid from the world. Oh, again, it makes the message and the messenger as one. The spiritual food is ready, and it's in the season now. And each one of you can have this food if you wish it, if you're willing to steal away from all the unbelief of this hour. If you are ready to come into Christ, come into his promise. Praise be to God. What an invitation. as when he invited that prophet. He was said he was there in those mountains and that virgin timber and said, God said, would you like to walk with me? He said, there's nothing greater in my life, nothing greater that I would like to do than to walk with you, Lord. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, John 14, 12, Joel 2, 28. What he would do in these last days. How the prophet said that it'd be a light in these last days. How it would work. What it would do. All the scriptures pointing to this last days. And that is Christ. If you can hide away in that now, in that secret place, you can eat and see the goodness and mercy of God. If you're sick, there's healing there. You remember Elisha. See, he called down after the meal offering that he had Christ and sustained the widow's house with it. Notice later on when he called fire down out of the heavens and so forth, proved his sending of God, the prophet spirit. When he called that fire down, that was the vindication that God had spoke to him, that God was with him. That vindication, it happens through every messenger, through every believer. God vindicates your life. He vindicates his presence in your life.
That's right.
There's not one believer that he doesn't vindicate. He vindicates every one of them personally. The new birth is Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. Notice when he was laying down there under the juniper tree, an angel come down with that same kind of meal, baked some cakes and fed him. And a little later on, put him to sleep again and woke him up, and he had some more meal cakes baked for him there, and he went in the strength of those cakes for 40 days. Glory to God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, how we love him. Spiritual food in its season. That's right. Spiritual food. It's not meant to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Didn't Jesus say the same thing to the Syrophoenician woman? He was sent to his own. That's right. See, he never went to the Gentiles. And now today, he visits the Gentiles in their time. See, and you say, why is it that the message don't go in these big places and big crusades amongst these denominations? It's not their food. It's not the church food, so-called. The church so-called food. It's the bride food. It's spiritual food in due season. It would make them sick at their stomach. It's too rich for them. See? You can't do it. But the children, for the children, it's bread. It's life. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
Praise be to God. Amen. The bride is already called. And the bride is already chosen. She's already married, united, and one with him. She was sealed. She was sealed before the drought, before the judgment ever began. And she was predestinated in him, chosen before the foundation of the world. Praise be to his lovely name. We thank God so much. Amen. For this day and this hour, we thank him for this revelation. We thank him for this covenant that he has revealed himself to his wife. Let us stand as we will dismiss in prayer. Father, once again, we come before you, Lord, thanking you and praising you. Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just continually commit each one, Lord, to you. We pray for Sister Evelyn. Lord, you would continue to strengthen her. Lord, give healing to her body. Lord, for each one we've mentioned, Lord, Sister Betty, for mom, and Lord, that you would be with Brother Goomba on the mission field, and those that are traveling, Lord, and Lord, each one, your bride, Lord, around the world, Lord, we commit her to you. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, we know that the thing that we're asking, the thing that we're praying for, is the very thing you're going to do. because you promised it in your word. You promised, Lord, that you would keep your bride safe, that you would hold her and heal her and protect her in every way. We just thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise be to God.